Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Hey, Right Here in Mass listeners, coming on the show today is Chris Howland, the Director of Purchasing, Logistics, and Special Events at UMass Dining. Chris began his career at the University of Massachusetts during his senior year working in the purchasing department as a staff assistant. After working his way up to Director of Purchasing, Chris now oversees the procurement operation for all of Auxiliary Enterprises and its yearly budget of over $33 million. Chris, welcome to the show. Please share more about you and what you do.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me. And that was a terrific introduction. I wish all meetings started that way. but that was great. Thanks so much. Yeah. So I've worked for Auxiliary Enterprises now going on 20 years. The funny thing is, when I first started working for the organization, I didn't necessarily see a career. But I've had the great opportunity to work with some really great people and really learn about this industry over time. And I can definitely tell you that it is a great experience, and I really love working here. So Auxiliary Enterprises oversees a few different areas on campus. So we're one of the largest departments on campus. Primarily dining is what we do. However, we also oversee conference services, the hotel, the UMass store, trademark and licensing for all UMass campuses, and anything that really has to do with food, right? So catering as well. So we have a unique opportunity here on campus to really be involved with a lot of and touch the lives of pretty much everyone on campus, because food really is an important part for everyone. Everyone here at Amherst, whether it's in the dining commons or retail or concessions, our food trucks, or even our catered events. So it's a very unique job. And, in addition to that, we have an opportunity to work with a lot of great suppliers, both big, small, medium, local, national, international. It's the best part of my job is that every day is something different. That's kind of the elevator speech that I have for what we kind of do on a day-to-day basis.
Love it. And I know you mentioned that you didn't exactly see yourself having this role in doing what you do now, especially because your first degree was in animal science. So what inspired you to make that change and go from something involving animals to now working with logistics and dining and food and all of that fun stuff?
Sure. Yeah. So that's a great question. When I came to UMass, I had aspirations of becoming a veterinarian. I have a deep love of animals, all sorts, and also helping people. And I thought that would be a great career move. My animal science is kind of the precursor to pre-vet to go into veterinary school. In my junior, senior year, I kind of lost that passion for a number of reasons. However, I did see the value of getting a degree, and, in the sciences, you can pretty much get a job, anywhere. So, I finished out my degree, but didn't really know what I wanted to do, right? So I think that's not uncommon for a lot of folks that are just graduating. However, there was an opportunity to work in the main office of Auxiliary Enterprises. And actually, Ken, who's the executive director for Auxiliary, he was the director of dining at the time. His current assistant actually hired me, all those years ago. It was basically, I just needed some place to get a little extra pocket money. And so that was my senior year. And when I graduated, they asked me, like, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, that's a great question. I don't know. But they, they enjoyed having me as an employee. So like, if you want to, work here over the summer, figure things out, you're more than welcome to. I'm like, well, that's great. So, I was in the purchasing department, did a lot of office type jobs. So I delivered the mail, got to really know the decision makers in the department, got to know kind of operations a little bit, kind of seeing it at the periphery. So, you know, the fall comes, you're like, well, what do you want to do? I'm like, well, I still don't know, but, you know, I have housing. So, you know, they said, well, you know, we'd love to have you work for us in the procurement department, right? Doing a whole bunch of different things and kind of learning the business. I'm like, well, you know that. So I basically thought to myself, well, you know, this is a good opportunity. You know, I don't really know what I want to do. So I'll stay on. And, you know, one thing led to another. And I was given more responsibilities, more opportunities to grow. You know, Ken encouraged me to get my MBA, which I did through the Eisenberg School of Management. And that was great. And then just basically worked my way up through the department, becoming assistant manager, doing some things with marketing. And finally, you know, I oversee all procurement, you know, logistics, which is, we have a warehouse on campus, about 10,000 square feet, cold freezer, and dry storage space. And then kind of catch all, you know, special events, special projects. So I work with the marketing team on those type of initiatives. You know, for instance, our 5K, which we're hosting in April, along with a lot of other guests, you know, special events. And also the biggest part of my job is vendor relations and working with vendors and, you know, maintaining those type of connections. So, you know, it's been a unique ride. I kind of got here not really as a direct way, but I'll tell you that it's been a great time. You know, met a lot of great people, really still have those same connections. And it's kind of a come full circle, because some of the vendors that we actually work with, some of the local vendors, I actually was working with them in the animal science area for labs, right? So, like, for instance, our local milk, which comes from Maple Line, which is a mile and a half down the road, we used to do labs, you know, at their farm. And now, you know, I'm working with them, you know, supplying most of our bulk milk and all our dining commons. So it's come full circle. I know it's given me a better appreciation for local sourcing, just I love what I do.
And I can imagine that there's something really special about working for your alma mater and being able to stay within that community.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, yeah, I wouldn't be doing what I do unless I love it. Like, yeah, I think, you know, I'm a big proponent that you have to love what you do. You know, it's mm-hmm. more than a job. I mean, if you take a look at the numbers of hours that we invest every week in what we do, it's a lot, right? So, and sometimes you spend more time with the folks that you work with than your own family. So you really have to, you know, like what you do, you know, really buy into the mission and the vision. And also, you know, it's great that we have tremendous support from our campus leadership, from our student groups, from our customers, from our parents. You know, it makes getting things done and serving that experience that much easier. And we can just do a whole lot more.
Absolutely. And having worn so many hats throughout the past several years and having your hands involved in so many different projects, in addition to what you mentioned earlier about doing something different every day, and that's what you love, what would you say is your favorite part of your role or in your career at UMass?
So I think one of the biggest joys I get is working with our students. You know, like for instance, yesterday we had an opportunity to have our yearly meeting with our student farm. So what we do is we meet with them at the beginning of generally the spring semester to kind of plan out the growing season. So generally we start taking product, you know, July through like October. So they have to buy seed, they have to kind of plan how they grow. And a lot of times this is the first introduction they have for what we do, you know, dining wise. So being able to kind of let them know, you know, the inner workings of our department, it's fun because, you know, you don't necessarily see all the behind the scenes things that go into a day-to-day, you know, operation. So you see the front of the house, right? You see all the great food, you see our culinary staff, but maybe you don't necessarily see all the deliveries that have to happen, all the logistics behind the scenes. You know, working with our vendors to make sure that we have the right products so that you know the chefs can create those delicious things. So, you know, just letting them know how things work, and then also working with them on growing some really great items is fun too, because they're always looking to see like, what can you, you know, what do you need? What would you like to kind of feature in the dining commons? And you know, we're always like, what type of heirloom vegetables do you have? Do you have purple carrots? Do you have Romanesco? Do you have purple potatoes? You know, there's all sorts of things that that our students in particular may not have been exposed to. You know, that's kind of one of the things that I like too, is like, we're able to contribute to that student success and maybe introduce some really fun things that our students may not have, you know, had the opportunity to look at or experience. You know, and you know, it keeps you young too. You know, it's just like, there's a lot of energy that comes from students, which, you know, I think the college and university segment is very unique in that regard. So it's just, you know, it's really, really fun to be able to do that day in and day out.
Absolutely. With working with the students so closely, do they drive a lot of what you offer in terms of food, where if they might provide feedback on something they really like and would want to see more of, or on the opposite end of something they didn't particularly enjoy and would be okay with doing without, does that drive a lot of decisions that you make?
Certainly. You know, one of the biggest parts that we do is listen to our students. You know, and you know, I always, you know, remind our team, is like, the reason why we are able to do these things every day is because students are customer. Without students, we wouldn't have a job, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to listen to what, you know, what they like, what they would like, you know, improved upon. So, you know, there's a few different mechanisms that we get that feedback. Obviously, like, social media is very big in terms of how we communicate, both about telling about events and also communicating directly with our students or customers. We have digital comment boards where students can actually text in comments to a particular location. Then our management team there responds in kind. We also have a really great ambassador program. So we probably have 25 to 30 student ambassadors every semester that helps us make decisions about what we do during the year. So you know, one of the things that they're responsible for is to give us weekly feedback on an interaction that they've had in one of our operations. It could be a dining commons, it could be one of our retail outlets, and we ask them like, how was your experience, and what was something that you noticed about either a guest that you were with or someone else in that establishment? We get this feedback. So, you know, there could be things saying, hey, I wish we had, you know, more ramen bowls at Franklin Dining Commons. They're like, easy fix. You know, we'll talk with our culinary team. We'll get that on the menu. It could be like, I wish you had more, you know, West African cuisine at this particular location. Like, easy, we definitely have, you know, the chefs that can definitely execute that at a high level. We also, you know, kind of ask them about different initiatives. Like, hey, we're thinking about doing this. You know, what's your feedback on that? Or, you know, we want to change the to-go container to a more sustainable option. Here are some things that we're thinking about. Like, what, you know, what are we not thinking of, right? So, you know, we're very cognizant that, you know, students look at life in a different way. They have different lived experiences that bring, you know, different opinions to the forefront. And I think one of the great things about our department is that we take all that into consideration when we're making decisions. You know, because our goal is to, like I said before, drive student success, be inclusive, because this is their home away from home. We want them to feel as comfortable as possible. And we also want them to be set up for success.
Absolutely. And along with that, one of the things that I noticed on your website was that you also have two dietitians on staff who can support students' needs. And I think that that's something that shows exactly what you mentioned about the inclusivity part, is making sure that everyone's needs are met. Because I feel like a stereotype of college dining is that the options are unhealthy and not accommodating, and you kind of get what you get, which certainly isn't the case at UMass. So how has that helped to shape the meals as well, by being able to have those dietitians on staff who can perhaps support students with allergies they might have or certain dietary restrictions?
Certainly. Yeah. So, you know, one of our things we say about UMass dining, keywords is healthy, sustainable, and delicious, right? I think for, like, you know, maybe a long time, there was a thinking or that something that's delicious can't be healthy, right? So we kind of break that mold here on campus. So you know, delicious things can be healthy. There's a lot of global cuisine that there's not a whole lot of animal protein that incorporates a dish. So it's mostly plant-based or plant-forward, and there's a little bit of animal protein. You'll actually find that I think about 80% of our menu is plant-forward, which is pretty remarkable. And you know, I took a look at the data, and like this is pretty cool. But you know, in terms of our dietitians, they play a very important role in the department. You know, 10.6% of our students have some type of allergen. And a lot of times it's multiple allergies. So, you know, it used to be the big eight, now there's nine. Sesame was just added to the list of allergens. You know, and one of the things that we want to make sure that we always do is to have an inclusive dining environment, right? So I know that some organizations may have a separate allergen dining commons where, okay, if you have an allergen, you just go to this dining commons and you'll be all set. I mean, that's all well and good. And I think that's, you know, supporting students, but what about students that don't have allergies, or maybe they don't like what's being served in that area? So, you know, we want to make sure that if you have an allergen, if it's, you know, minor to severe, that you can eat anywhere in the dining commons and feel safe about it. Our dietitians help students navigate the dining plan. We have menu identifiers that, you know, list the ingredients, a little bit of the nutrient analysis. There's icons that indicate if it's halal, you know, vegetarian, vegan. Of course, allergens are a big thing there too. All our staff is allergy trained, so they know about cross-contamination, what to do, what not to do. All our staff is trained in, you know, how to treat, you know, any type of allergy reaction. So, you know, our dietitians play a large role in that, you know, working with students that identify as having certain allergies, working with our culinary team. Sometimes, you know, we make specific items for a student because, you know, I've seen, for instance, a student that has like six allergies, right? So that makes, you know, it's a little tougher to navigate, but our team is really on top of things that, you know, that's no problem for us. You know, we have a specific app that actually is designed for students with allergies, and they can pre-order certain things based on their needs. So that's something that is relatively new, I think the last year and a half. You know, our dietitians team is excellent. I say it's best in the business. I know, you know, they're UMass, the part of the UMass team, but they are excellent. They're very well regarded. They're very knowledgeable. They know a lot about these type of things. And I, you know, our students trust them. We trust them. And it's a very big positive part of why UMass Dining is so highly regarded.
Absolutely. And I love that you talk about the points in regards to that specifically of inclusivity and safety, because a big part of the college experience is being able to enjoy dinner or other meals at the dining hall with your friends. And if you get to a point where you say, oh, I can't go with you because whatever they're serving today, I can't have, it really kind of hinders that experience. And so I love that you're able to ensure that students are able to feel safe and comfortable and assured that they'll have what's needed ultimately for their meals.
Right. It's not just for the students that have the allergies, but it's also for the parents that of the students. Cause I know that as a parent, you know, you always want to make sure that your son or daughter, you know, is well taken care of and that they're safe. So, you know, we put their, you know, their fears at ease. And our dietitians available all the time. Like if a parent has a question or a concern, you know, they'll make themselves available to talk with them and kind of work out, you know, any type of issues that they may be having. And, you know, it's all about, student success, helping students navigate the world, right? So you come to university to mature a little bit, you know, and help students ask the right questions, you know, cause, you know, the thing is, like, once you leave a university, there aren't going to be as many people that are looking out like we will look out for our students. So it helps them kind of mature a little bit in how to navigate the food scene once they leave UMass as well.
Definitely. And on the topic of looking out for your students, one of the things that I really admire that UMass does is offer food security and guarantee that for students. So could you talk about how you've been able to support the needs of students who might be food insecure?
Sure. So we have a no student goes hungry policy. It's basically anonymous. So if a student identifies as needing help with dining, we have a platform called Spire where they can indicate that you know they need some meals, and meals are automatically put on their card, on their plan. What this does is it triggers the dean of students to take a look at the students to see or in contact them to see what other things may be happening in this person's life. So if they identify as needing help with food, possibly maybe housing is a concern, maybe clothing, maybe other things, right? So, we want to make sure that, we identify and we address all sorts of challenges that a student maybe have and, set them up for success. In this way, we're never going to say, no, you can't come to the dining commons. Like, that's just not how we're built. Ultimately, students are part of the UMass family and we take care of family.
Yeah, I love that. And especially what you mentioned too, that the dean ends up looking not only at food, but other aspects of their college life that they may need support with as well.
Right. Yeah, exactly. In this way, we're addressing everything at the same time. And hopefully we'll be able to solve whatever challenges they may have and, kind of set them up for the right path.
Absolutely. And in addition to serving students and any type of visitor that comes on campus, does UMass Dining do anything outside of UMass? Like, do businesses or organizations in Western Mass hire you or work with you in different capacities?
So we do have a consulting branch of what we do. So we've worked with K-12 organizations, school systems with their dining program. The town of Hatfield, we helped through COVID, because they had some challenges with their food service. So, we had a unique opportunity to be able to do a lot more than maybe we necessarily would be able to do during a full regular year. We've worked with, Boston Public Schools on procurement, in terms of focusing on local procurement, in particular, and recipe development using those, local items. We work with Amherst Public Schools, Chicopee Public Schools, on different things, and also different universities. Westfield State, we actually helped them go from a contracted facility to an independent facility a few years ago, and set them up for success, and now they're running by themselves. So we're here at UMass, we have a unique blend of lots of different things. So culinary, marketing, procurement knowledge, obviously operational knowledge and expertise. And we're able to use that to help a lot of different organizations improve.
That's really interesting, because that was actually one thing I was thinking of as you were sharing that, is if other colleges or universities come to you and say, hey, we see what you're doing and we want to see if we can do something similar in our field. So that's really cool that you offer that consulting branch to help other colleges and also public school systems.
Yeah. So, we're an open book, we want to help people succeed. So we do have a lot of universities that come and take a look at what we happen to do and how we do it, and if we can help them achieve whatever it is they need to achieve, we definitely want to do it.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting was the fact that you have a food truck, or I think it's actually two food trucks. What was that process like of realizing that you wanted to bring in a food truck service, and how have you been able to grow and expand using that?
Sure. Yeah. So we started with one food truck about 11 years ago now. Man, time flies. And since then, we've added a second food truck, and then we have an entire food trailer. And then also a smaller food trailer as well. So we actually have four pieces of equipment that we call like mobile kitchens. So the whole idea behind the food truck was being able to bring the dining experience to students directly, right? So the food truck goes around campus at prearranged times. Students, message us sent via Instagram about where they're going to be. And we have, pretty set menu. So they'll be around campus during the week. We also use them to help, serve customers during sporting events, right? So maybe, the softball field or baseball field, where there's not a standalone area for, refreshments. We'll have we call it Baby Burke 1, Baby Burke 2, go down there to service that particular event. You know, and for the large food trailers, we actually use that to help out for some of our football and also basketball and hockey events, where it's kind of a another kitchen that will help pump out more food for the event in an efficient manner.
Yeah, and it sounds like it provides ease and convenience where if students are thirsty or feeling hungry, they can go to the food truck or the food trailer that's right there rather than perhaps having to go across campus to one of the other dining areas to get something to eat.
Certainly, you know, and for the food truck, it's really popular during late night, right? So students know what the food truck looks like. You know, it's very unique color scheme. So they see it coming and they get really excited. So, you know, it's another opportunity to service students later in the evening. You know, instead of opening an entire operation, we can do it right out of the truck.
Absolutely. And would you say that there's a good amount of students that come to UMass with the driving factor being that they have such a great dining program? Is that something that you typically hear from any of the students that come to the school?
Yeah. So all things being equal, right? If you take a look at two universities that have similar academics, you know, food plays a huge role in getting students to say yes to the university. And we ask this question. So we do two larger surveys every year, once in the fall and once in the spring. And, you know, we basically asked, you know, how does food affect your ability to come to UMass? And the vast majority of students say that food's a very important part of making that decision. You know, because, you know, food is a common language, right? So you can come from different parts of the world, different parts of the United States, but you all understand food. You understand good food, right? And coming together, breaking bread at a table, there's something about that that really leads to that great community and building that great community. So students, you know, see that, you know, they see that during, you know, when they're visiting schools to decide where they want to apply to. They see it during early acceptance day. They see it during regular acceptance day. They see it during freshman orientation. And their parents do as well. So, you know, it adds to that UMass Amherst experience, right? And it contributes to being able to get a really great student to come to UMass.
Absolutely. And are there currently any new and exciting projects or initiatives that UMass Dining is working on that you can talk more about?
Certainly. Yeah. So we actually have a really fun cafe going in that's going to be opening up in the fall. It's going to be Parisian inspired. So we actually have a new residence hall going up. It's a 600 bed facility that'll be ready in the spring, or rather in the fall. And so there'll be a small cafe in the first floor, you know, Parisian inspired. So a lot of small pastries, kind of better for you type of items, you know, grab and go. And because it's going to be actually in a residence hall, we're also going to, you know, see how we can kind of build maybe a small, you know, grocery type aspect into it for students that may want to bring ingredients back to their residence to cook.
Oh, wow. What inspired you to have the Parisian effect to it?
So that's our culinary team. Like, we don't really have any type of Parisian type of restaurant on campus. You know, I think it really resonated a lot, especially with our bake shop. They can do a lot of fun things. And, you know, our director of culinary excellence has a lot of experience in that type of segment. So, you know, a perfect opportunity. It's a blank slate to really create a fun experience that's not available anywhere else on campus, right? So you know, one of the things that we like to do is practice destination dining, right? So, you know, because you don't want a lot of the same thing all around campus, right? So, you know, why would you go to this particular area instead of this particular area? So if you take a look at our dining commons, it's all about destination dining, right? So, you know, the base menu is generally the same, but then there could be different pop-ups, right? There could be, you know, a ramen concept, or there could be, you know, a West African concept or an American Southern concept that only happens at that particular dining commons. And that way, it kind of spreads out the traffic on campus. So like we have a pretty well-known app, right, that has the menu on it. And, you know, if students say, oh, you know, I got this really great event that's happening. Like, for instance, tonight we have a chef from Cameroon that's going to be doing a really fun special in Berkshire Dining Commons. You know, that's going to drive more traffic to Berkshire and you help other locations kind of spread out, you know, the number of students that go at a particular dining commons at a particular time. And it also encourages them to go, you know, in that area. And, you know, the same thing happens for cafes, right? Cafes could be the same where you serve, you know, the same coffee, the same food, But if we have one that serves something that only that cafe serves, their students are going to be more likely to go there. And the you know, kind of the experience will be better because they'll be, you know, spread out where students go at any particular time.
Absolutely. And I imagine that having so many options available has helped students to expand their palates, where foods that they might not have even heard about before, they're now trying and really enjoying because of the fact that they're seeing it on your app and seeing it on that menu.
Certainly. You know, at any given time, we have 15 world cuisines that we have on our menu. So, I mean, what we're finding, though, is like students that come to the university now are have a very high food IQ, right? They mm-hmm. understand food. They're like that Instagram culture where they want that food experience, and they're more open to trying new things. But you are right. You know, there are things that some students, you know, when they come to UMass, it's the first time they ever tried it. And that's really cool, right? That's fun when we're able to introduce a new concept to a student and they're like, wow, this is life changing. This is awesome. Yeah. And then they tweet about it, or well, they don't tweet. That's for the older generation. Maybe they put it on Instagram, or they do a TikTok about it. And that's really cool when you see students saying, this is, you know, this is something that they've never seen before. And they're telling all their friends. And what I really like too, is when they send text messages to their parents about things that they're experiencing for the first time. You know, that's really great. And that kind of shows that we're on the right track. We're doing the right things and really contributing to that experience on campus.
Absolutely. And the time of this recording is towards the end of February. As of right now, would you say that there are certain popular items that are just getting a bunch of buzz or excitement from students?
Yeah, sure. So our noodles are super, super popular. I know ramen's been around for a while, but we do a really great job here. The ramen, the miso ramen line, the pork ramen line are always long. There's always someone there. You know, sushi is hot. You know, we serve between 4,000 to 5,000 rolls a day.
Wow.
And it's all hand rolled mostly by students. So I remember, you know, when my boss Ken decided to say, you know, we're gonna add sushi to the dining commons menu. People are like, oh, you know, Northeast sushi, that's never going to happen. And this was over 10 years ago and it's still popular. People love sushi, hand rolled one at a time. Stir fry is always popular, you know, so there's just something about the taste of the wok under the high heat with lots of vegetables, maybe a little bit of noodles, maybe some rice. I remember actually this happened 2 nights ago. We had Korean bibimbap. And the line was out the door at Worcester. You know, it was authentic. It was delicious. And students just loved it. It was more than just, you know, Korean students. It was everyone. Everyone from all sorts of parts of the U.S. and all sorts of parts of the world just really enjoyed this great food. And I think that's one of the great things that we're able to do, is we're able to bring people from all over the world together in one area to enjoy some really great food. You know, that really, you know, warms our hearts and, you know, shows us that, you know, this is great. This is what we're supposed to do. This is why we're here.
I love that. And with you being a Western Mass native, what would you say are your favorite local businesses to support?
Sure. So, I was thinking about this because you did mention that you're going to ask this. So, you know, I like, there's a lot of local farms that are great, right? So like I said before, Maple Line, I will say, and I'm going to go on record, that they have the best chocolate milk out there. So we serve it in the dining commons, but we also serve it in our retail areas. You know, pints of chocolate milk, they are delicious. They also have strawberry milk and coffee milk. Those are really, really good. You know, and some of the greatest places to find local produce is on the roadside stand. So there's like, if you go through Western Mass, you're going to see a lot of roadside stands because a lot of people have fields in the back and they just kind of grow things, right? So it could be tomatoes. You know, tomatoes at peak of season, there's nothing better than that. I get a lot of my pumpkins from roadside stands. You know, there's this place right, you know, you're going towards Northampton, and they have these really beautiful pumpkins. You know, there's white pumpkins, there's some heirloom pumpkins. It's really, really great. In terms of like non-local food, there's this really great bookstore downtown called Amherst Books. You know, it's a small independent bookstore. I love to support local independent bookstores because it's just like a feeling. There's like a smell to the books. It just kind of puts me in a happy place when you kind of go in there and you kind of take a look at all the the nice and the neat things that are being sold by them. So, and I also like to support them because they've been there for a long time. As long as I've been here, they've been down there. So I always like to make sure that they stay around for the next generation of people.
I love that. Chris, this has been such an awesome episode, getting to learn more about your career that you've had at UMass Dining and all of the exciting things that it's been up to over there in Amherst. So I'd love if you could share where listeners can connect with you or UMass Dining online if they'd like to learn more.
Sure. So you can find out a little bit more at umassdining.com. You can get in touch with me. Send me an email, chowland, chowland, at umass.edu. Always open for a conversation, always open to help folks solve challenges. You know, that's kind of what we do. We're, you know, one of the best part of what I do is I'm able to you know, give people the solutions and help them be successful. So if I can do that for someone else, love to do it.
Amazing. Chris, thank you so much again for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.